Hi, and hello today. So I'm going to record the time, the date. It's the 1st of March to 2023, and we're just on gone noon today, which is a Wednesday. I'm very pleased to invite Neil Lemelier to talk to us today as part of the Generational Echoes project, based in Exeter, St Thomas and the West Quarter. Hello, Neil, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you, Jojo.
I would really love to hear some of those early stories about your early life and family.
Not a problem. I'm more than happy to give you all the details and enjoy them myself as I tell them. My early life started, and my surname comes from the fact that my father was evacuated from the Channel Islands. And due to various circumstances, ended up in Exeter because his auntie and his cousin, who he grew up with as his stepbrother, brother on Alderney and Guernsey, was also in Exeter. Having lived with them up in the wrong side of Exeter, i.e., not St Thomas, he moved into St Thomas in a house share, I think, or renting a room. And at that time, one of the places to go in Exeter was the community centre, which originally, for those that don't know, was actually right next to St Thomas Station, on the St Thomas side rather than the town side. And he met my mother there. And this, of course, was way before the community centre moved up to where the Iron Bridge is. He met my mother. Coincidentally, they both started playing table tennis. She was a nurse. She'd moved down from North Devon to be a nurse in Exeter. And they both played table tennis, which has bound my family together for many, many years. They both played. My brother, who now lives in North Devon, up at Biddeford, he plays. My first sister plays, and even my younger sister played a little bit. But my brother and I still play a lot. And that binds us back into Exeter because my family, once we'd moved away from Exeter, which I'll come to later, actually returned to play a match against the local league up at the new community centre, as it was then, by the Iron Bridge. So they met in the community centre. Before too long, one thing led to another and they got married. And they actually got married at Exeter St Thomas Parish Church, which I've actually got their wedding album here and pictures of them outside the church, which started also a long association with the church. My father and mother weren't particularly religious. They were a little religious, but that became their local church. So I actually ended up with my brother going to Sunday school there. And also down the road at, I think it's called Buller Hall, if I remember rightly, down past the church towards St. John Stocker School. We then became choir boys there. I was confirmed there, well, baptized there and confirmed there, as was my brother. So that's how we came to be living in St. Thomas, and St. Thomas is home for me and always will be, and it's somewhere I always go back to when I'm visiting Exeter and I have time. I have a walk around, I look at the old house, the church, walk up the same route I used to walk to school. So I was born and raised in 23 Rugby Road, which, for anyone that doesn't know, is one of the back streets in St Thomas off Carrick Street, and the road actually butts on to St Thomas Pleasure Park, which was my and my brother's playground from a very young age right the way till we left, with the paddling pool, with the huts, with the hedges. And at that time, behind our house, there was an alley. The alley's still there, but there was also a dike or stream which was open and has since been covered in. And that stream ran down through the park and then through a tunnel, and then came out behind our house, and then flowed away down towards River Exe. meeting that at some point. And one of the dares when we were very young was to actually go through that tunnel back from the back of our house and through the tunnel into the park that way, which in these days would be very much frowned upon, but in those days was something that happened. What was also there, which is interesting, backing onto that dike, so the other side from our house between us and Cowick Street, was a big, I suppose you'd call it a parking lot, which was where a fair used to, or a fair or a circus used to winter every year. We didn't see anything of it because the wall was very high, but we knew it was there, and there was a door in the wall further down, which very, very occasionally opened, and you could see through to where the fairground rides, etc., and everything was stored. So grew up in St. Thomas at Rugby Road. My first school was the primary school that just across the other side of the park. Name escapes me for the moment. It'll come to me. I don't remember a lot about those early years, other than very, very happy and just a fantastic place to be growing up. The best of both worlds, with a park right next to us. It was almost countryside. Countryside wasn't far away. We would do day trips to the Warren. My father was a at that time was a fireman on the railway, so stoking steam engines, which also has left a long interest for me in steam engines. I'm not a rail enthusiast, but I certainly know a lot about it. So that used to help us with travel a little bit, because he would, when we could get away, we used to go annually back to the Channel Islands to see his relatives there. So I was very familiar with St. Thomas Station. And then after infant school, I went to junior school at John Stocker. So my life revolved around walking up to John Stocker. And in those early years, that would be out into the park, down to Cowick Street, right turn in front of the church, walk up to the top, and there was the school, and started at the junior school. Very happy times there. Some interesting times there, not least the receiving the cane or the slipper once or twice. But then at one point, virtually the whole school did. That was when the headmaster had warned everyone not to go sliding in the playground, because the playground was on a cant and slip. And I remember the old junior school building, which had a central hall and then a balcony round on the first floor, where there were classrooms off that balcony, and the headmaster's office was up there. And I remember on that occasion, there were boys lined up all the way around that balcony, waiting to go into the head's office for the slipper or whatever he was going to give us. I remember all sorts of things from Cowick Street, because it was also my shopping centre, as it were, in the day. Anything you wanted, it was there. You didn't actually go into town much. You didn't cross that bridge much. You did go up there, and certainly when I grew older, I went across. But when I was young, life really was in St. Thomas. One of the nice stories I remember is my mother would use to give myself or me and my brother a bowl to go round to Cowick Street to the dairy. So we go through the park and then turn left, and there was a dairy, as I remember, on the left. So the opposite side to the church. And we would go around and get a bowl of clotted cream and bring it back home. And our treat for that was, of course, to be able to lick the bowl or scrape out the bowl when she put the cream wherever it was going or using. Both my brother and I became paper boys, and we used to deliver the papers from Apps, which was a newspaper shop just the other side of St. Thomas Station, so which is all gone now. So on the right hand side, there was a paper shop there. I've got a picture of it somewhere, and there's a picture online. So we used to deliver papers from there. I delivered them up in Red Hills, my brother somewhere else. We attended the school. My father played for St. Thomas Cricket Club. So we used to go to lots of cricket matches. And I played at a very young age, helped out when they were short and got injured, got a ball in the face for my troubles. I progressed into John Stocker's senior school. And a nice story from that time is that there was four or five of us that used to hang around together. And the other four all passed the 11 plus and went to Heels. And I failed and went to John Stocker Senior. However, it was only at John Stocker Senior that they suddenly discovered that I was extremely short-sighted. I wear contact lenses now. And when they discovered this, they said, well, how on earth did you survive at the junior school? Because in those days, for those of you who are not old enough to remember, everything was written on blackboards. And most of your work was laid out by the teacher on a blackboard. And no matter if I'd been sitting at the front or the back, I couldn't have seen the blackboard that well. And I said, oh, well, I used to copy off the boy who sat next to me. And that boy also failed his 11 plus. So thereby, in some ways, it's something I've never regretted because I was then at the secondary school and I was top of the stream at the secondary school, and that continued when we moved away later to Kent. So in some ways, I think it did me good because I was at the top of the stack, whereas I don't think I would have been if I'd been at Heels or anywhere else. So even from John Stocker, there are stories. My route to school used to be either up Cowick Street, or it would be the back way and then up through an alley onto Buddle Lane and then left to go along to the school. And that walk to school was just something special in itself because you saw so much of the life that was St. Thomas happening around you as you were going to school and coming home. And I can point to different shops that I bought things at. I've still got I bought my mum a set of glasses at a little hardware everything store, which used to be on the corner of Buddle Lane and Cowick Street. And I've still got one of those glasses. I bought a set of six. Further down was the post office, and there was a toy shop. There was the Buller Hall, which I've already mentioned on the right hand, on the left hand side or the right hand side, going towards Exbridges. And I remember that hall so well because one of the things that happened there, they had a dog show. And we had one dog which died when I was quite young, but then we had a second dog, unbelievably called Rover, which was a sheepdog. And it was the first male dog to be trialed as a guide dog. And poor fella, he wasn't very well treated. Dog training in those days was much more punishment than reward. So by the time he came to us, we took him on, and he would hide from everything, but we gradually coaxed him round. And being a sheepdog, a border collie, he was highly intelligent. And before long, we could teach him to do all sorts of tricks. And so when this dog show, as it were, happened at Buller Hall, my brother and I took him along there, and we won a rosette or whatever because he did so well. As amateurs, of course, we weren't professionals. So Buller Hall featured for us. Of course, then the Speedway did, because the Speedway was just across the road, the other side of Cowick Street. And like many people in St. Thomas, Monday night was always the night when you heard the sound of the Speedway, because Monday night was Speedway night, and missed that terribly. Used to enjoy going to that. One of my godfathers used to take me. He was a very keen enthusiast. Both sets of godparents lived in St. Thomas, and walking to their house, or houses, I should say, was always was always fun. My father at that time used to have a motorcycle and sidecar, which was quite common. Well, not as uncommon as people might think. So I well remember going in that in and me going on the back and my brother going with my mother in the sidecar because it was snowing. And the snow as we just drove up to my godparents, which were at that time in the end of Buddle Lane, which I think becomes Exwick Road, I'm not sure. St. Thomas, very much a community. I jokingly mentioned at the start, being the right side of Exeter. And I think anyone who's ever lived or was brought up in St. Thomas would tell you that it was Exeter, but it was St. Thomas. And that's how everybody referred to it. You were from either the wrong side or the right side, depending where you were brought up. Unfortunately, I don't have that many friends from those days. As is the way with Exeter, a lot of people do move away, and that's what happened with us. Having attended John Stocker School, junior and then senior, I moved away with my parents. My father had come off the railway because of beaching, and got a job as a rent collector for Exeter City Council. At the same time, became a taxi controller, and then he got a promotion and a move to Rochester in Kent. So we moved away in the right at the start of 1968. I remember spending Christmas in St. Thomas and then New Year in Rochester in Kent. And the difference was so stark immediately. Although one of the lovely things about that first New Year away from Exeter was because Chatham Dockyard was in the Medway Towns, which Rochester is part of, on something we'd never experienced before, all the ships that were in Chatham Dockyard sounded their horns at New Year. That was quite a thing. It just sticks in the memory straight away. St. Thomas was where I first got my love for sport. As I say, my mother and father, I think I said while we were talking before, my mother and father played table tennis, and my brother and I grew up playing table tennis. In fact, we used to go to matches, and mum and dad would put us on a couple of chairs at the side of the table while the match was going on, and we'd sleep there when we were very young. And then as we got older, we started playing. By the time we started playing, I ended up playing my first match at the Y Centre, which at that time was a more traditional YMCA, which was just up from where the current community centre is, coincidentally. But mum and dad continued to play for the community centre while it was in St. Thomas, and then when it moved. As I say, my father played cricket. He also played football, but stopped. I don't remember him playing football. And of course, John Stocker at that time was rugby. There was no football. So I played rugby, which I enjoyed, but my problem at rugby, and my problem probably right the way through my school years, was I was one of the youngest. My birthday is 26th of August. And because of the way the school year works, the school year is 1st of August, which is different to many other ways your age is measured. I was always the youngest in my class rather than the oldest. So I was always still growing when others were perhaps bigger. So I don't think rugby did me many favours. I did quite a bit of running, but I quickly discovered that I enjoyed sprinting and 400 metres and not long distance. Although later in life, I did do a very few long distance, and that was encouraged at St. Thomas Senior School. Sorry, at John Stocker's Senior School. There, as part, they didn't have a sports ground actually at the school. You had to go down into St Thomas and across to where there was a sports ground we used. So we went down there for rugby and other things. But as part of the school sports days and etc., we'd used to do a race round the building. And there was grass around the building, so we did a race round there. So I took part in that. I remember the fish and chip shop, which was right outside the entrance to St John Stocker. Is it still there? I'm not sure. That was a treat. We used to come out and get chips there, and of course, scratchings or whatever the locals call them, the bits of fat. I had my first formative encounters with the opposite sex in St Thomas, all very innocent at that time and at that age. But when I was, it was not long before we moved away, I had a girlfriend, and I even bought my first piece of jewellery for a girlfriend in a shop in Cowick Street, which was, there was a jeweller's. If you went towards Exbridge's, just before Exbridge on the left, there was a jeweller's, and I bought my first bit of jewellery there. I'm not sure it was actually that much appreciated, to be honest. There was also the Railwaymen's Club in Cowick Street, which was the opposite side of the bridge to the community centre. And because my mum and dad used the community centre, we didn't go to the railway club as much. I think we did used to go there a little bit, but not as much. And of course, the little shopping centre that's there now, there used to be all sorts of stuff there, which was all long gone. It's always interesting now when I do go back to see what has changed and what hasn't, and try to work out what my memories, what part of my memory is actually right from when I was young, and what has been changed slightly by what's happened since I grew up. Being a choir boy at St Thomas Church well, that was excellent as well. It was, I have to say, and I am sorry to those that maybe are more religious, I don't think I ever looked upon it as doing something religious. I'm pretty sure I only did it for the money. And weddings were the bonus because you used to get good money to sing at a wedding. And I only ever did one funeral, as I remember. And that was all, that was always good fun. It was quite a little community of the choir boys, etc. And I actually did one summer. I managed to fake being a good soprano, which you wouldn't believe these days. I'm sure my singing voice is not something most people would want to hear. But I actually sang a lead soprano up in town at the top of 4th Street when there was a big, I think it was Remembrance Sunday, if I remember rightly. And it wasn't long after that, but my voice broke, and I managed to hide it for a short time in the choir, but then got found out, and that was the end of the choir for me. I suppose most of my memories of St Thomas do centre around the church, obviously the school, and the park. And the park was our playground for everything. We played football there. We had running races. We had cycling races. There was the paddling pool in the summer, which it was before the time when everyone worried about health and safety, so it was all open. Although there was always the worry of getting verrucas. In those days, that was the terrible thing. You could catch a verruca if you go in there. There was the various trees that you could climb or hide in. There was the bushes. The bushes at the top of the park, next to the hut or the shelter, they had a secret in the inner layer which you could walk through. I remember that. I also remember going down on the quay on St Thomas' side. There used to be a fairground, a fair every year, or more than once probably. And I once went down with my brother and our little group of friends and won a coconut and a coconut shy. Now, the reason for saying that is we then brought it back and for some reason came up Cowick Street, went into the park and broke it tried to break it open in the park. This being a complete novelty, a coconut. And unfortunately, when we broke it open, we weren't knowledgeable enough to know that it was off. We ate some of it and were promptly sick. And that put me off coconut from that day to this. And I've never, as soon as I taste or smell coconut, that's a no-no. So that, I mean, that's, I can remember being in that park, and a game was to try and catch a wasp or bees. Not hurt them, but catch them by the wings and then let them go again without getting stung. The innocent games that you played, and floating sticks. I mean, we've all heard of poo sticks now. Well, I used to do something similar. You would float sticks through that tunnel I referred to earlier in the park and see whose would come out first, the other side by the back of the house. I remember a story. I'm afraid I do like a ruse, a joke now and then. And I remember something I did when I was quite young. I must have been 9, 10, and there was an old racing bicycle in our back garden. And I managed to convince lots of the local younger kids that it was actually a bike that had won the Tour de France, and charged people to have a look at it and sit on it. Awful. Awful. Another formative thing that happened in St. Thomas and around there was that just as I was growing up, so 13, 14, just before I left, the modern rockers scene had started. And I'd seen and been aware of Teddy Boys, but not really. And then the modern rockers started, and I saw some scooters around near where I lived. So boys who were 16, 17 had got scooters. And when we moved away, that was the first thing that, as soon as I became 16, I wanted a scooter. And that was from seeing them in St. Thomas. It was interesting when we moved away from Exeter, because there were various things that you did or you were familiar with that when we moved away, we realised how it was different elsewhere. And a simple example is just before we moved away, corduroy became fashionable. Literally only probably a month or so before we moved away. And there was a shop at the bottom of 4th Street on the left, which all the local lads and lasses used to go to, maids, as we refer to them, bays and maids. And that shop sold fashionable gear. It sold jeans, it sold leather, it sold belt buckles, it sold kipper ties. I bought my first kipper tie there. And they just got corduroy in when we moved away. And then when I moved up to Kent, I found that everyone up there was already wearing corduroy. In fact, it was almost gone. And it just showed you the difference in those days, because without the internet, without social media, things evolved across the country at a much slower pace. So what was hip in one town might not be in another town for another few months. The reasons for going across from St. Thomas to the main part of the city were more for social than anything else. So, for instance, going to the cinema. There wasn't a cinema in St. Thomas, or at least there wasn't one, certainly when I was growing up. There may have been one or two before. But used to go across into the main park, go to the ABC, which is now gone, or the Odeon, which is still there. Other memorable things are fireworks night. As kids, we would build a massive bonfire down on flower pot, on the flower pot, before all the allotments and everything are there now in the factories. And we used to build a big fire for bonfire night. We used to scrounge around all the local streets asking for stuff. I remember the floods. and the floodwater coming up Cowick Street, coming up all the roads towards where we lived. And we were lucky; it never quite reached our front door, but other people were flooded. It's fabulous memories for me, and I know it is for my brother, because it's never changed. And the house that we lived in, we've always kept an eye on ever since we moved away. And there's been one or two occasions when my brother and I have almost thought about putting an offer to buy it just for an Exeter base. I think it's probably not going to happen now, but it's one of those things you think, oh, it would be nice. Though the house has changed. Of course, when our first memories are of drawing a fire. So I used to, in those days, you would put the kindling and put the wood and coke in the fire. Then you put a newspaper across the front of the hearth to draw the fire and get it started. Also, we had an outside toilet. Though we also had an inside toilet and bathroom. And what I can't remember is if that was put in, whether we only had the outside toilet and then got that, or whether, I don't know. And in those days as well, our house, we had a scullery as well as a kitchen, which most people these days wouldn't know what a scullery was. But you had a scullery, a kitchen, you had the posh room in the middle, and then the front room. Yeah, they were great days. They were great days. I think that more or less speaks of all my time in St. Thomas. Is there anything that occurs to you?
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. One of my questions was just tell me a little about Cowick Street, and you've told me some absolute gold about Cowick Street. You've mentioned the quay as well. What was your relationship with the river growing up?
Oh dear. Again, health and safety wouldn't be happy. We used to go down through Flower Pot to that side of the river, and we would swim in the river above the weir. Used to have a rope off the tree and swing out. So I remember swimming at that end. At the other end, I think we only really went down to the quay on the St. Thomas side for the fair and various other things. I don't remember ever going down there socially or to go down to the canal. Not sure how much the canal was there at the time. We're very aware of the river because of the flooding, and very aware of the river because you would cycle down or get the train down to Dawlish Warren. So you would go alongside the river. And also, I was in the Air Training Corps, which I've got a certificate for that here as well. That was 1967 as well. And that was on the other side. So that was on the traditional quayside. It's all gone now. It was there for years, but at the end of the, if you went over and down to the quay and went along past the pub and where the clubs were, and walked past the warehouses on the left, the Air Training Corps was right at the end, in a walled off area with a Nissen hut, I believe, and that's where we used to train. And so we did do things on the river with the Air Training Corps. But I don't remember doing as much on the river as I would have thought we would have done. Whether it was because we were slightly further away, we weren't, our focus was more to Cowick Street and that side of St. Thomas rather than going down towards the bridges, or at that time the bridge, because of course there was only the one bridge. So the river was there, but it was more periphery than something I did. And I didn't do any boating or sailing or canoeing or anything like that at all. I remember going down there when the floods happened. I've got pictures of me standing up in the floods by the bridge. I remember being down there once, and a fisherman had just caught a fish. And my father was trying to turn me away, and the fisherman was trying to turn his back on me because he was about to hit the poor thing with a mallet or whatever to stun it, to kill it. So I remember that, and I think That probably, because I've never liked fishing. I've never fished. We used to go and catch, having said that, we used to go and catch sticklebacks and newts and fish down at Flower Pot, but we'd always put them back. You keep them for the for an hour or whatever in a jam jar, and then they'd go back in. You wouldn't kill them or anything. So certainly Flower Pot and the streams there and the tributaries, but not the river itself, apart from, as I say, we did used to go swimming. So the river was there, but it was that was the boundary, and that was the St. Thomas boundary, really.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got one final sort of question stroke prompt, really. The
Yep.
project's called Generation Echoes. Were there stories that sort of from parents or grandparents, not necessarily about St. Thomas, but things that stick with you and were formative in your growing
Oh,
up?
most certainly. But of course, because neither of my parents came from Exeter, they didn't particularly concern Exeter. Although I mean, myself and my brother were Exeter through and through. My father and my mother had their own history. So my mother was North Devon, and indeed we scattered part of our ashes up there. We used to go up on Dartmoor a lot. Dartmoor was one of the places we went, but in those days it was you made your entertainment in different ways. Going up onto Dartmoor was a great treat, but we also used to drive up to Heathrow to see the planes. I well remember doing that. My father, coming from the Channel Islands, I have a strong association with the Channel Islands. But there are peculiar things with that because of his background, because he was born illegitimately. There were lots of things I didn't find out. And unfortunately, he died. He had a massive stroke and then couldn't speak. And then he died quite a few months later. And there are so many things that I realized too late that I'd like to have known more about. But we did manage to do things because we scattered his ashes in four different places. We scattered them on Alderney, his local golf club in Dartford, on Exmoor with my mother, and also up in Scotland where he was evacuated to. And that all came from what we knew of his life and his early life. And then I've scattered three lots of ashes from godparents up on Exmoor. So Exmoor, not Exmoor, sorry, Dartmoor. Dartmoor. And I was very, very lucky, or my brother and I were very lucky, because we had two sets of godparents who were no relation at all, who mum and dad had met through the community centre as well. So it was all that community centre base, which I think we've lost a lot of in these days. The pubs for a while took that over, but now community centres, community halls, they're just not used in the same way. In fact, it brings to mind last night I was in Dartford in Kent, and we before the football match that we'd gone to see, we went into the Working Men's Club in the centre of Dartford, and what a fabulous facility, and still putting on entertainment for people. And you look at it and you think, well, this is where the youngsters should be. But the only people in there are middle-aged and older people. And I do feel that youngsters are missing out on so much, because that's my parents, my godparents, all of their life, all their social stuff came from that community thing. And we've lost that. I mean, I was also, I forgot to mention, I was a cub before I joined the ATC. I was a cub. And that was in, oh, what's the name of the road? Ha! The Scout Hall used to be down the other, oh, just by Flower Pot, where the church is. So I was a cub there. So that was another way that I was socially involved. When I was at John Stocker's school, senior school, we used to go to the girls' school for tennis in the summer. and badminton and ballroom dancing in the winter. And that was formative. That was things you did. And I think what I'm trying to get at is that the sense of community, which has been lost in a lot of areas, is what formed and did so much for my early years and then my later life. And I do feel that youngsters these days are missing out so much because of that. School's replaced in a lot of ways, but I think there is the community aspect where you interact not only with people your own age, but people of different ages is missing. There we go.
Well, that feels like a lovely point to stop the recording if and yeah, so I will do that and
Smashing.